One of these days, I'll have to talk with Randy, and we're going to have to go over there. And we're just going to have to do that. And so remind me, Randy, we need to talk about that. Because I was sitting there, we need to go over there, and vice versa. So, but it is this different for us tonight is for being having a service on a Wednesday night. And so if you guys are part of small groups on Sundays, I hope that was well for you. I heard good things about them. But that means we pushed our worship service to Wednesday night, which makes it a little bit different for us. But we're going to work through that, and we're going to see how this goes. But it's good to see all your faces. Now, on Sunday, we won't have this big hole here. We'll have a big hole over here, or we'll have a big hole over there. For some reason, we always have a hole somewhere. But it is good to, I'll tell you, God sees where you're at 24 hours a day. It doesn't mean you're going to be in the house of the Lord, but when you're around the Lord's things, just blessings. And I want to tell you, the more that you attend to things of God, the more blessings that just happen to roll right off of Him, right onto you. It just happens that way. I know some of us, I'm looking forward to a baptismal tonight. That's good. But I know many of us kind of reminisce. We hear a song from time to time, and we begin to reminisce about the old days, what we want to call the old days, and we kind of growing up, and we just kind of go back, and we just kind of drift off for a moment, and we just kind of be off in that one place in that one year. And for some of us, it would be something in the 90s, and some of us would be in the 80s, and I won't go any further, but we just continue to do that from time to time. Music kind of has a thing for that, and when we see something maybe on TV or something like that, we reminisce. And some of us don't like to reminisce because our past isn't so great. Sometimes we don't like to reminisce because reminiscing reminds us of our failures. Reminiscing reminds us of our sins. Reminiscing reminds us of loss from loved ones. And reminiscing, it just reminds us of things that we don't want to remember so much of. So some of us like to stay in the present. We like to stay in the present. And some of us are dreamers and visionaries, and we like to always think about the future. There's a good way to think about the future, but there is a wrong way to think about the future, because if you are a dreamer and you never put anything into that dream and that vision, then you're truly just a dreamer and nothing ever happens, and you're always living kind of in the future, but reality says you're not there and that never comes. As they say, tomorrow really truly never comes. But I want to tell you tonight, as I want to share with what time I have here tonight, I want to try to change up our services a little bit. I've been talking to Ashley about that. We want to be a little bit more involved with the people in the church and yet get a message through. If you think you can sing or you want to talk to her, we're trying to work on some of that. But I want to share with you guys tonight that the future is something all of us Christians need to be aware of. But even if you're lost tonight and you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, we're going to share a little bit about the future. Because as much as I have a life and you have a life, reminiscing is kind of cool from time to time. It's kind of neat to go back. It's kind of nice to see the old photographs and, hey, Mom, is that my grandpa? Well, you know, that's my great-grand. It's nice to reminisce from time to time, but you can't stay there. Also, we need to remember that being in the present is important. We need to be focused on the present, but in our minds and our hearts, we need to remember that there is a future. And God is about the past, present, and the future. And for the believer, there is a great future ahead. But there's a warning that God gives to the world, but He gives it through His Word. And He gives us something of comfort for the believer. And it's what we call the rapture. We use the word rapture. We don't see it here, but we use this whole thing of Jesus calling the believers back up and calling the believers into the air. And we call that the rapture. We kind of use that word to bring all that together. And we're going to break into that a little bit tonight. Because listen, there shouldn't be any topics that we cannot talk about. There might be some we struggle with teaching and struggle when we preach. Because there's some things that are pretty deep. And pretty, you know, you have to dig into the scriptures. And you have to wrestle with those. But I wanted to share with you that there is a time that there will be a resurrection. Now, I believe that the Old Testament and the New Testament, they kind of line up together. It's God's Word. I believe that there was Masonic prophecies, that there was a Jesus coming, and there was a sacrifice coming, and there was all this prophecy about Jesus coming. But I also believe there were some great other mirror image of of the whole piece of God's Word. And this whole thing about the rapture, this whole thing about it is, it's the coming of the end times. Now, when we talk about end times, we get a little bit nervous about end times. We figure we get all messed up, and we think Revelation is all about end times. There's a lot of it about end times, but also in Thessalonians is about end times, the beginning of end times. And there's also parts in Daniel about end times, and we see all kinds of things in there. But tonight I want to share with you that there is a part in here that we don't need to be scared about death. We don't need to be, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ and you have a relationship with Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, you confess to Him that you are a sinner and you've asked Jesus Christ into your life to forgive you of all your sins. The Bible says He is faithful and just to forgive you of all your sins and all of your unrighteousness. Jesus can sweep it all away. He did that by shedding of His blood. He covers our sins with His blood because He lived a perfect life. And we find out through Scripture that those who are believers are written in the Lamb's book of life, of eternal life. So there's a future part that the book will be open. Right now, names are being put in it. And the Bible says, and the Bible says it's a great celebration when one turns from a sinful lifestyle and comes to knowing Jesus Christ. And salvation, there's a great celebration in heaven over that. That's pretty cool. Heaven's about salvation. Heaven's about worshiping God. Heaven's about the good stuff. But we are not there yet. But there's a moment, and God tells us through Scripture that we not need to be nervous about the times when we die. We don't need to be nervous about that whole thing. And I like that because God knows how to comfort His people. Amen? I'm comforted by the Scriptures that we're going to read tonight. It's something that many of us use. Randy, maybe, or Danny, we use in funerals. And because it's an encouragement piece. Usually we use this when we're at the gravesite. Because it reminds us that that person that's over there that's getting ready to go under the ground or has been cremated, that is not the end. That is not the end of life. Because God gives us a body. Now, let me not get ahead of myself. Let's go into 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. He says in verse 13, we do not want you to be ignorant, brothers, concerning those who are asleep. Let me tell you that when you die, it is your body as goes to sleep. Now, I've touched people, as being in law enforcement way back in the day and those kind of things. And even as a pastor, sometimes somebody will ask and say, would you go over there and take their eyes and shut their eyes? It's messing me up. Had that a few times. But every time you do that, the eyes won't stay down. They always spring back up. Now, the body is shutting down. The body has shut down. The brain has shut down. The heart has stopped pumping. The blood has stopped moving. Everything in that body is done. Everything is shutting down. Life is what we know is over. We call this death. The body has died. But God, when He made Adam, He breathed in him a living spirit. When God says living, it means it's alive. We have a spirit that dwells inside of us, each person. And so the Bible tells us that the body is like going to sleep. And so it says, I got to put it up here because I can't barely read it. Concerning those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve like the rest who have no hope. So the rest who have no hope are those who do not have Jesus Christ as their Lord and personal Savior. They died in their sins. They have not confessed their sins before God. That don't mean running to someone. That don't mean you run to me and confess to me. You confessing to me means nothing. You need to confess to the one that paid the price. His name is Jesus. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. Who? Jesus Christ. God loves the world. But the only way into God's kingdom is through His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, if we receive that, we have eternal life. But the body dies, and here it is. So the body, whether it was cremated or whether it's laid into a casket, and I want to remind you that you can have an Armani suit being cost you $3,000-$4,000, and you can have a $20,000 casket. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all. That has nothing to do where you're going to go when you die. It has nothing. Bible says you brought nothing into this earth, and you can take nothing out. From the dust you come, the dust you shall return. And God makes it very simple. Everything you have comes from God. And when you die, we, as though we fall asleep. And so as the body falls asleep, the body is laid into the ground. But there's a promise that God has. So our spirit goes with the Lord Jesus Christ. It goes to heaven. To be absent from the body is to be in the presence of the Lord. So if I'm absent from my body, I'm in the presence of the Lord. But for only believers. For believers. Now, he goes on, he says, we do not want you to be ignorant, brothers, concerning those who have fallen asleep, so that you do not grieve like the rest who have no hope. There's no reason to grieve. We need to understand that when someone dies and they know Christ, we should be kind of, our hearts are broken, we have some sadness, but in our spirit, we know that we can celebrate because there is no more pain, there is no more suffering, there is no more disease, there is no more cancer, there is no more of that stuff, but that they are at peace and they are with Jesus Christ in the spirit. But here we go. He says, since we believe that Jesus died and rose again in the same way. Now, you can't get anywhere in this until you believe this, that Jesus died. Okay? Since we believe that Jesus died and rose again in the same way, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep through Jesus. So there's a separation. Okay? So, for we say this to you by revelation from the Lord. We who are still alive at the Lord's coming will certainly have no advantage over those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with an archangel's voice. We're going to hear it, okay? We're going to hear it. And with the trumpet of God, and the dead will rise first. Those who have fallen asleep, those who are dead previously, so like my father, some of your parents, some of the other people that you know, your aunts and uncles, those individuals that knew Jesus Christ, their body is in the ground, wherever, in the sea, been cremated, wherever it is, God knows. If God created the stars and the moons and all the galaxies and all those things, and he can control the beasts and the mountains, the fish and the sea, and he can control everything, you think he can figure it out how to work with human being bodies? Of course he can. Of course he can. So all of that, as they come, so it says that they, for the Lord himself will descend heaven with a shout. Now I want to tell you, the Bible says that for Christians, we will know them by their fruits. We will know him by his shout. Come on now. The Bible says we'll know him by their fruits, which means we'll know a Christian by their fruits, but we're going to know the Lord by his shout. Okay? So we are important. We are so important that God makes a moment here. He says, there's going to be a shout and there's going to be a trumpet of the Lord. Archangel's voice is going to shout and the dead in Christ will rise first. It's going to grab the attention of the world. And listen, you can go out to any gravestone and you can shout and they ain't going to hear you. But they're going to hear the Lord's voice. And they're going to rise and they're going to come up first. We're still doing whatever we're doing. If we're alive at this time of the rapture, and I also want to remind you here, in just a few minutes, we're going to talk about when that rapture is going to take place. But here we go. We find out here that the dead in Christ shall rise first. They will not precede those who are walking around. They will not precede those who are walking around. People are like, come on. Are you just serious? Listen, the Old Testament and the time, and then there's the Old Testament, and there's this moment of Jesus walking on the earth, and then there's this New Testament. Jesus' stories, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are a part of that, but there are some things that really rock our world, and when we start digging into the scriptures, because the Bible tells us that there was a moment when Jesus he rose up from the grave, and all those awesome things that happened, that there were dead people that God called righteous. They rose up from the ground. And they were walking around. Some people today, we would call those like zombies or whatever, but it isn't that they were scary or anything. They rose up and people knew who they were. That means they were recognizable. We don't want to talk about those scriptures because it messes people up, but I'm telling you, it's scriptural. You can go find it. God, and when the power of Jesus' resurrection was powerful. Do you not think Jesus' resurrection was powerful? Think about the rapture, how powerful that's going to be just on the voice of God. So the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we will not precede them. But now they're caught up in the air. Now, here it is. There's a voice that's calling us up. It's time to go home. We don't belong here. And so here it is. If you're walking on the face of the earth, the Bible says people will be working in the field. One will be taken and one will stay. One will be left and one will be called home. It's going to mess the people up that are left here. It's going to mess them up. It's going to mess them up. But for us, we're going to go. And I don't know how the transformation is going to be, but it's going to be awesome. It's going to be great. Because God does amazing things and he's pulling us out. Because you can go in, if you're a pre-trib, great. If you're a mid-trib, great. You know, you can figure it out in your post. But I'm a pre-trib. I believe in that. I believe the Bible mirrors the Old Testament, New Testament mirrors the Old Testament. I believe when God came and angels went down there in Sodom and Gomorrah, what did he do? He called the righteous out first. Then he destroyed. And so we see that here it is. He says, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the archangel's voice, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are still alive will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words." We are to encourage each other about the things of the rapture. But we don't. We struggle with it because some of us are struggling with even believing in it because we get our nose too deep in the Scriptures. The Scriptures tells us it's going to happen. And the Scriptures tells us there is a calling up of God's people. Calling them up. God has always done this through the Scriptures. He's always separated his people from the other people. His people from the other people. He's always done it. And so we see here, what people have asked, well, when is this going to happen? You're always preaching about, oh, he's coming, and always hear it on the TV, and he hasn't come yet. Listen, you better be thankful he hasn't come yet. If you're lost, you better be thankful he hasn't come up, because he's given you more grace to receive the gift of salvation. He says in chapter 5, verse 1, about the times and the seasons, he says, brothers, you do not need anything to be written to you. He says, you guys know. He says, for you yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord will come. And it'll come like a thief in the night. Basically, you can't say, oh, Jesus is coming, or the calling of all that, I want to go and get saved now. You can't pick and choose when you want to get saved. You can't draw to God until he draws to you and the calling of your name. Now, that doesn't mean I'm Calvinist, but I'm just telling you, that means that you can't come to God anytime you feel like coming to him as a lost person. You need to do it when God is prompting you to receive the gift of salvation. Because we would be misusing God's name. We would be trying to figure, I'll do it when I'm ready. I've heard people say, well, I'll get saved when I'm ready. Or God's not going to take me because I've sinned too much. You don't understand the sins that I've committed. Listen, there's nothing that you've done that God hasn't seen. But the Bible says that love covers a multitude of sin. There's nothing that God will not forgive you of. There's only one thing that he will not forgive you of, and that's when you blaspheme and you step away from the gift of salvation of the name of Jesus Christ, who's reaching out trying to save you, you and your soul, your spirit. And this is serious business, because when it happens, it doesn't matter who's president. It doesn't matter who's the Queen of England. It doesn't matter who's in charge of North Korea. It doesn't matter who's in charge of Russia. Listen, God's in charge. God is in charge. And his throne trumps everybody else's throne. His throne is righteous. His throne is holy. His throne is pure. His throne is eternal. It was, it is, and it will always be. God's throne is where it all comes from. All commands come from God's throne. All instructions come from God's throne. And praise God that he says, my son, I give you all authority. And Jesus sits on the throne. He will sit on the throne. But right now, he sits at the right hand of God and interceding for you and I. We don't need to worry about when it's going to happen. We just need to be ready. We need to be looking forward to the calling of the voice of the Lord. Can you imagine for the first time you can hear the voice of God and it's going to be like, boom! And you're going to know because you know. Why? Because you have something of God that's inside of you. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, we believe that the Holy Spirit comes and dwells inside of you. It's a scripture that Alan read before. Jesus had to leave so the Comforter would come. And when the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, dwells inside of you, it is God's Spirit. And it gives you access. It gives you, God speaks to you through his Holy Spirit. And so there's something that belongs to him, but he's given it to you. And we are a part of the family of God. And so when we go and he calls us up into the air, it is that we are a part of the family. And he says, children, come home. It's time to come home. And then he's going to put the hammer down. And there's going to be 7 years of tribulation. And it's going to be 3.5 years. It might look kind of good, but it's all going to fall apart. And the Antichrist is going to rise. And then he's going to turn around and say that if you don't receive, you can't get medical, you can't get health, you can't go get food, you can't get gas, you can't do anything, you can't have a job, you can't do anything, your kids can't go to school unless you take the mark of the beast. Now listen, by that time I believe I'm gone. I believe I'm up in glory. And if you're a believer, I believe you're going to be up there as well. The Antichrist is going to take his charge. He's going to start doing all these things. And there's going to be a moment where we find out that if you don't receive the number of the beast and you don't get those things and you think you're going to hide, you're not going to hide. You're not going to hide. There ain't going to be no churches to go to on Sunday. That's not going to be allowed. Those Bible studies are going to be kind of hidden. There are going to be some people that are going to run to the church after the rapture. I believe there's people going to run to the church, but there ain't going to be much there. It's going to be some pews. There's going to be some other people that, I came every week. I gave in the offering. I did. And it's the same thing that we read up and that's going to happen up in heaven. People are going to say these things, and he's going to say, and Jesus is going to say, "Depart from me. I never knew you." And they're going to drag that person away. Listen, let me tell you, there's a difference between hell and the lake of fire. And the Bible says that after all of it, at the end, there's going to be a great war, and they're all going to dominate each other, and then the angels are going to come down and do their part, and they're going to wipe it all out. And then you always heard that part there when you read a part where you read in David and Goliath will come out, "I'm going to feed you to the fowls of the air and the beasts of the land. I'm going to feed you to the birds of the air today. And then David would say, "No, your body's going to be food for the birds and for the beasts of the land." Listen, at the end of it, the birds are going to have a feast. The birds are going to have a feast on the bodies, the carcasses. There'll be people that will go into the mountains. The Bible says they'll go into the mountains, into the caves, and they won't bend the knee toward God. They will not admit that God, but they will ask God to pull the mountains down upon them. It's going to get ugly. It's going to get hurtful. Listen, God's family is going to be with him. And then there's going to be a judgment. If your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you're going to be on this other type where God's going to talk to you about how you lived your life as a Christian. But he's going to gather everybody else up because the Bible says, Jesus says, he's going to divide them from the sheep from the goats. That's what Jesus said. You're going to divide the sheep from the goats. And when you get all those people that don't believe, it's a massive, because the Bible says, "Why is the gate that leads to destruction?" I've covered a lot of verses tonight, but we just couldn't read them all. And they're going to be out in the mass. It's going to be a massive crowd. One of the greatest massive crowds ever. Going to pull all them people up out of hell, and everybody's going to be judged. And they're all, the Bible says, if you broke one commandment, guess what? You broke them all. You a lawbreaker. Guilty. Because we're truly all guilty, aren't we? But praise God for the blood of Jesus Christ. That today we can be set free, and free indeed we are if we come to Christ. Christ is the only Savior of the world. He is the only Savior for your spirit and your soul. And when we are divided up, and they are divided up, I believe they will be dragged out into the lake of fire. But for you and I as believers, if you are a believer and you are saved, you'll stand before God. The Bible says you'll go through a fire, and that all the things that you did that were not worthy of God, they were not clean, they will be burnt up. But he himself, the Bible says, but he himself will be saved as one screeching through the fire by the skin of their teeth. It is important on how you live as a Christian. It is very important on how you live. Fire purifies. I don't know how it's all going to look, but all I know is I read it in the Scripture, and God already knows how it's going to be. If you have that part in your life where you felt like, I read the Scriptures and the words are just bouncing off, let me challenge you to read Isaiah chapter 6 and ask God to give you a little bit insight of what happens in the throne room. That's a very humbling chapter. Try Revelations chapter 1, chapter 2. Chapter 1 is very, very humbling. Men would stand before God in the vision state, and they would fall as dead men just in the presence of God. Now, the Bible says we are not to fear. The Bible says, for God did not give us a spirit of fear, but the spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. But there is a part of knowledge, is the beginning of knowledge. That is that we fear the Lord. There is a positive in fearing the Lord. There's a part, as growing up as a child, there's a part. And all of us, that we said we did not want. There's a part that we loved our father and we loved our mother, but there was a part where we feared the paddle. We feared the discipline. But the Bible says that God disciplines those whom he loves. So the discipline isn't done out of anger. The discipline's done out of love. Are you with me? The discipline. I've been disciplined in my life. And I knew that God didn't stop loving me, but that he loved me. And he couldn't see me keep doing what I was doing. He wasn't going to want to let me go and keep doing what I was doing. He had to help me put my brakes on. And I had to come to a place of repentance where I need to ask, because what told me to do that? I knew that already. I grew in my relationship with God as a young teen and continued to grow, and I strayed. And what happened is I found out that I knew. Nobody had to tell me, but I knew, because there was something inside of me that says that you need to ask and seek forgiveness. And I knew what it was. I needed to talk to God. I needed to go to him. And I needed to confess my sins before him. And the Bible says, and I started to experience that part where he was forgiving me. But then I also had to say, and he helps you. And you know what? When you step away from that, you walk away and you feel like you have to walk away from the sin. Because that's leaving that unrighteous life. And God will pull you toward the righteous living. Does that make sense to you? Have you experienced that? That's a person walking in the sinful world, but trying to live righteous and trying to be the man of God, the woman of God that God's called them to do and to be. But there is coming a time when God's going to create a big shout. It's going to be, come on home, because we look at those funerals and we look at those gravesites, and there's people, they're ready to go. They're ready to go. We don't get to see mom and dad, those who know Christ. We don't get to see those family members until after. Truly, I believe until after God calls us home. God calls us home. So the greatest question tonight, before we have this awesome baptism, you see, the rapture can take place anytime. People buy billboards, tell you when they think it's going to happen. They put it in magazines. They'll preach on a given a date. But guess what? Every one of them have been wrong. Every one of them have been wrong. And the question is, if God gives a shout in your lifetime, will you hear it? And basically, that's a result of, do you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior? The world right now is trying to get us to go in every other direction but Jesus Christ. Denominations are trying to get us to start thinking about all this other stuff. You notice we've got our eyes focused off of Jesus and start focusing on Calvinists. We start taking our eyes and we start focused on everything else. And Satan has got our eyes everywhere but on the cross. Are you as strong a Christian as you used to be? I hope you're stronger. But you know what? I can't judge that, and I would never want to. But there's one who can. And his judgment is pure and right. So I want to give you guys an opportunity tonight. We call this an altar. If you'd like to come down and you want to pray, I want to extend an offer for you to come down and to pray. To pray whatever God has put upon your heart. So let's go ahead and stand. We